Good morning. Today's Daf and Bav Mesiyas Chav Ches. We're in Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Lema Ketanai. It's halfway down on the Amud. We are involved in a major sugya here in the second parak of Bav Mesiyas, and that is Semanim. Semanim are operating Midaraisa Midarabanan. As we've discussed since the beginning of the parak, so in terms of finding a lost item, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to return it to its owner. How do we identify who the owner is? How does the owner identify that item belongs to me? And so one way that he can identify is via simanim, telltale signs, markers on the item that it belongs to him. As I pointed out yesterday, simanim could really be broken down to three categories. Category number one is simanim uvakim. The simon is absolutely clear. It's such a outstanding simon that clearly indicates ownership. I'd say it's a clear identification that it's mine. Then there's on the bottom of it is simanim gruim. There are simanim that it is descriptive, but it's barely. The color of the item, as we'll discuss a little bit later today, maybe the length of the item. In other words, they're adjectives and they properly describe the item, but they don't do much in terms of identifying that you're the owner of the item. They're not particularly personal. And then there's our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about Beinonim. In other words, we're talking here about somewhere in the middle. Simanim Beinonim are simanim that are not muvhakim. They're not outstanding. They're not gruyim. So they're right there in the middle. And so the Gemara is asking the question whether or not simanim are deraisa derabanan. And probably, I think I used the same language yesterday, probably the Gemara's discussion over here is about the Beinonim. Gruyim, as we're going to see a number of times in the course of today's daf, gruyim is nothing. Meaning it's a simon grua, like the color of it is, you know, barely a simon. Generally speaking, is not. And muvhakim seem to be working all the time, with no limits. So probably the Gemara's discussion over here is whether it is by Simon Beinoni, middle of the road Simon. And then the Gemara pointed out if they're operating midaraisa or midarabanan. So what's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? So that we saw in yesterday's daf, and that is by get. Am I going to return a get back to the woman if she can identify with a simon? You see, when it comes to mamano, so it doesn't matter whether it's simanim or deraisa derabanan, because we know that anytime it comes to money, the chachamim have the power to take money away from one person and give it to another person. It's called hefker based in hefker. So if it's just a monetary issue, so even if it operated only midarabanan, good. It can operate midarabanan. But once we're discussing again and returning again to a woman, so now we're talking about being materacious ish. That is an isser. And not just an Isser, by the way, but an Isser of Isser Erva. So, but that's an Isser. And so the Chachamim do not have the power to just simply say that this woman who's married is not married. So the only way you'd be able to return to get to a woman is only if Simanim were Daraisa, not the Rabbanan. That would be a Nafkamina. Good. So now that we lay the question out on the table, so what did we do yesterday? We discussed. What are we going to do today? Continue to discuss this issue. Is the Gemara going to have a conclusion? Almost. You'll see what I mean by that a little bit later on. Lema Ketanai. So we are now starting with the Gemara, where the Gemara is proposing that this question of whether or not Simanim Adaraisa Derabanan really subject to Machlokas Tanayim. Ein Mi'idin. This is a Braisa in Yevamos. Ein Mi'idin Malashuma. We argue here says Elazar. Velazar ben Mahavai Omra Mi'idin Alashuma. Okay. So once again, we're talking about identifying somebody who died. So you come back from a trip and you are of the belief, not belief, but you were witness to the fact that this woman's husband is dead. And you're now testifying, you're reporting. Now, but you're one person. So as we've discussed already extensively in the end of Yevamos, two prakim, discussion worth, and that is that, but you could testify, even though obviously you normally need Edim, but for Edus Isha, so that she can remarry, so that she doesn't remain in a guna. So you could testify as a single witness. Now, what are you going to be testifying? So you have to properly identify who died. Proper identification. So we discussed this yesterday, and that is by the face. Okay, so if you recognize the person's face, that clearly is a means of identification. The face, if you will, by the way, in terms of our categories, that you could call that a simon muvok. Okay. But right now you're not identifying with the face, but rather you're identifying with a mole on the body. So you are now pointing out that there was a mole and you identified exactly where the mole is. So is that going to be a simon, yes or no? It's machlokas tanayim. So the Gemara says, perfect, perfect. Meaning that machlokas tanayim is reflective of whether or not simonim are daraisa derabanan. So my la b'hakim afagit tanakama sarfas simanim derabanan, and v'laz ben mavai sarfas simanim daraisa. And so now this seems to be a perfect reflection of our question. Amarava, so the Gemara is going to push back because you know how the Gemara operates. Meaning, yes, it could be, but it doesn't have to be. Amarava, tekule amasimanim daraisa v'achem b'shuma mitzuy b'mengilo kemiflagi. So the Gemara says, no, really what we'll say is that simanim are daraisa. Everyone subscribes to the idea of simanim are daraisa. But in other words, if all we're doing is just identifying a shuma, that's a mole. So it could very well be that we're talking about a ben gilo. Okay, ben gilo is somebody with my mazel. Okay, you would, nowadays you'd say a ben gilo is someone my age. Okay, and it could very well be even from the Gemara's perspective. But ben gilo basically is somebody who is, you know, like me. Right, shares my mazel, maybe my age. Okay, Gemara Nedarim, where if you recall, right, when you visit somebody and do a bikur cholim, so the best visitation is done, but when it's done by a ben gilo. Okay, so in the Gemara says now ben gilo. So what are we sharing together? We're sharing a birthday. We're sharing a mazel. So it could very well be that we also share the same moles. I know that's funny. I know, funny meaning it's just, you know, it's hard to relate to, but it could very well be. And Mar Savar Shuma Mitzvah Ben Mengilo, Mar Savar Shumaina Mitzvah Ben Mengilo. Oh. And now the Gemara proposes that, look, this could be the Machlokas, meaning really Simanim or Daraisa. But if all you're seeing is a Shuma, that Shuma can be shared by so many different people, meaning it's not even a Simon. That's one possibility. And the other Tana would say, no, it's a Simon. Ebay Simon, the Gemara says, I'll give you another proposal. And there's the Kula Am Shumaina Mitzvah Ben Mengilo. Really, Shumas are not that generic, and they're not that they're not that common. And hacha b'simanim asum lishanos la'achamisa kemiflagi. Mar sever simanim asum lishanos la'achamisa, or mar sever simanim ein asum lishanos la'achamisa. And over here, the machlokas between these tanaim could just simply be a function of, is there going to be a physical change in the body post-mortem? So, and if you are maintaining that all physical signs of the body maintain, there's a status quo of the simanim before and after death, so then good, it could serve as a simon. If, on the other hand, you are of the position that physically people go through changes post-mortem, so maybe it wouldn't be a simon. Okay. And then it gets a little bit funny, by the way, because then you read my mind. Then what we're having over here is a machlokas and metzias, and generally speaking, we'd like to shy away from that, but that seems to be the Gemara's proposal. Ibai Yisema, how about a third proposal? And that is the kulei amashuma ina su lishan sa chemisa v'simanim derabanan v'hacha b'shuma simen muvaku kemiflagi. Marsa v'shuma simen muvaku. Marsa v'shuma lav simen muvaku. Okay. And then the third proposal is that really simanim are derabanan. And really, there is no physical change before and after death. And over here, maybe the moles falls into this top category of simen muvak. Okay. Here the Gemara clearly speaks out. This is as clear as you're going to get. That there are gradations within Simanim, and over here, maybe the moles are Simon Muvak, and if it's a Simon Muvak, even if I subscribe to the idea that Simanim are Durabanan, that's Simanim Beinoni, which are Durabanan. But now that we're in the world of Simon Muvak, so that everyone would agree is a Daraisa. And that's the Machlokas, whether a Shuma falls into the category of Simon Muvak. Okay. It's amazing, by the way, with all the proposals that we just had in the Gemara, we really covered the range of Simanim. Meaning we proposed just moments earlier that the Shuma is shared by everybody, so it's nothing. Meaning it's falling into category 3, right? It's a Simon Gerua. Or alternatively, it's right there in the middle. Yes, it's a Simon, but in other words, Beinoni. Or as the Gemara just proposed, maybe it's a Simon Muvak. The Gemara really covered the gamut of what degree of Simon that would be. Amar Avim Tim Salamar Simon Lav Daraisa Hechem Adjuna Vedata B'Simonim. Oh. So the Gemara over here, right, the super fundamental Gemara that we're doing right now in terms of why. Meaning, if Simanim are Daraisa, we don't have to ask the question why. Why do you return an item to its owner if he can identify a Simon? Well, if it's Daraisa, it's because the Torah says so. Good. That was a good talk. However, if Simanim are Darabanan, so everyone's following what's happening. Meaning, Simanim are Darabanan, which means what? I find an item. Can the owner identify min ha-Torah? No. Along came the Chachamim and they legislated. And they said that I know that the Torah doesn't recognize a simon, but we're going to go ahead and allow to return it just based on simonim. Well, why would they do that? That's the Gemara's question. So, denichal la mosi aveda denahad de bisimanem akihech dechi aveda le lididei nami nahadu le bisimanem. So the Gemara over here describes what we would call a social contract. Okay? In other words, I like the idea. In other words, this is a Chachamim's understanding of people's mentality. I like the idea of, I'm going to return this item to you, so then in the future, if you find one of my items, you'll return it back to me. Social contract. Ah. So the Gemara says, yeah, I hear you, I just didn't like the way you said it. Well. In other words, I understand social contract, but the starting point of this argument is, well, let me return this item to you so that, stop right there. Let me return this item to you. If min ha-Torah, the item is not yours, so then why in the world would I want to return it to you? I understand it because of a future consideration, but it's mamon, the Gemara's expression, it's mamon she'ino shalom. Meaning, well, it's not my money. So the Gemara over here just tweaks. Ela, nichalei labalaveda lemehave siman lemishkalei, amediyada de'edam leislei. So the Gemara says, okay, well, so let's start from the perspective of the original owner. Meaning from his perspective, nichale, right? It's appealing to him. Because over here, what I can do is that I can really prove that it's mine. Well, how? Simanim. Meaning even though the Torah doesn't recognize simanim, but I do, and I can prove it more than others. You'll notice the Gemara that I just read, he says, the rest of the world does not know about the Samanim of Hakim. I know about the Samanim of Hakim. Now, that's confusing because just moments earlier, what did I tell you? Samanim of Hakim, no argument. Everyone holds Samanim of Hakim Adaraisa. Tosus over here points out that even though the Gemara used the word Muvhakim, the Gemara, don't take the Gemara here literally. It just simply means I am a better identifier of my items than others are. That's all the Gemara means by that. But the simanim that we're discussing over here are the beinanim, are the mid-range simanim. Good. So what do I have over here? We have now A. Now keep in mind, just to keep the Gemara organized. So machlok is whether simanim or deraisa de rabbanan. Okay. And right now we are just taking for a moment the side that simanim or de rabbanan, and we'd like to understand that better. Like in other words, why would they do that? Why would the chachamim allow an owner to claim based on simanim if in fact the Torah doesn't recognize it? And the Gemara now is trying to give a svara, and right now the svara that we're offering is nichalei, meaning it's a social contract. But in other words, the correct way to say it is that when you are the loser of the item, meaning the owner who has lost the item, so nichalei, meaning it serves his interest because he feels that obviously he'd like to get the item back. He feels that with his simanim he will be able to prove that he's in fact the owner. And so therefore, because of Nichalei, so therefore the Chachamim legislated. Okay. Elahad did not. So the Gemara says, if this is really the correct understanding of Simanim, it's predicated on a Nichalei argument, consider the following. Elahad did not. Rishon ben Gamliel Amar Echad Alova Mishlosha Yachzu Lalova. Shosha Shalova Min HaEchad Yachzu Lamava. So hopefully you go back. We go back to our first parak, and you remember that what happens if I find a note? Well, that was a lengthy discussion there in the first parak of the Masechta, and complicated. Okay, but here we don't have to get to the complicated part. We'll go right to the easy part. And that is, what if I find three notes bundled together? Three notes bundled together. If all three notes share the same borrower, probably was lost by the borrower. Not probably, most probably. You return it to the borrower. If I have three notes where it all has the same name of the same lender lost a note, and so therefore you return it to the lender. Now the Gemara says, Nichale Lova L'Adur Le'Lamalva. Now, if Simanim are Durabanan, and it's all predicated on a Nichale argument, let me ask you a question. I found three notes, right? They were lost, they were recovered. And now if I were to ask, and they all have the same Malva on it. Now I'm going to ask the Lova, what do you think? Is it going to make you happy if I return it back to the Malva? The Lova is going to say, no, it's not going to make me happy. If the entire argument of why the rabbis legislated is because of Nichalei, in this particular case, well, yes, it's true, the Malva is going to be happy, but the Lova is not going to be happy. So it can't be that the only argument is based on Nichalei, Because we are looking right now at a case where it's not nichalei. So amalei hasam svara hu echalov mishol sheyachzor lov degabe lov shchicha legabe mavlo shchicha. So shma minam milov enafo. And shlosh shlov miyachad yachzor lamav degabe mav shchicha legabe lov lo shchicha. So the Gemara says yes, but I'll tell you what. Maybe our argument is still a good argument. Maybe the whole the reason why the Chachamim legislated is because of nichalei. Let's say that. This case over here is not going to challenge whatsoever. Because in this case over here, it's not just simanim. Meaning, I've got three notes that were bundled together. The three notes have one common denominator, either the name of the malva or the name of the lova. That's more than a simon. The Gemara's language is svarahu. Meaning that is, now svarahu, we translate in English as an argument, but it's more than an argument. Meaning it's so clear, it's so outstanding that these three notes that are bundled together, all sharing the same name of the same lender, it's more than just the money that it belongs to the lender. It's an umda demucha. It's self-evident. Of course, it's the lender's. Why would I have three notes bundled together with the same name of the same lender? It's the lender's. We're beyond simanim. Or if you want to say a little bit differently, it's a simon muvak. Meaning it's not part of our discussion. And the same thing is true if the three names that were shared on the three notes are the same borrower. I'm going to give it back to the borrower. Not because it's a simon, but it's more than that. Svaru. So Gemara says Ella. Okay. Bringing us now to the top of Chav Chesam and Alf, today's daf. Ella hadid na matzatach rechashol shtar so agudu shol shtar zari ziyachzir. So the Gemara says, okay, now, what about the following? Another mission that we saw in the first parak of Bava Metzia, and that is, what if I have three notes that they were just simply wrapped together? Right? The Gemara, if you remember, the Gemara talked about they were wrapped a little bit differently. That's why there are two different expressions over here. But they were wrapped together. Okay, so if they were wrapped together, so I'm going to return it back to its owner who can identify that, yes. In other words, those are three notes that are wrapped together. In other words, it's not the pshat that they're all sharing the same name. It just happens to be that they were wrapped together. They were bundled together. So that's something that you're going to return. Why? Because it's a simon. So I'm returning notes, and the only thing that they have is a simon. Not sharing the same name. The Gemara says that's a svara, stronger. But over here, it's just simply a simon, and I'm going to return it. So now I'm returning these three notes to the lender based on the fact that they were wrapped together, which is nothing more than a simon. And yet, if the whole legislation is a predicate of nichalei, I would say clearly over here, this is not nichalei. The lover would not be happy now that you're returning it back to the malva, because now the malva obviously is going to claim his loan and legally claim his loan as he now is the note holder. So Elam Arava. Okay, so back to the drawing board. We're trying to understand if simanim are derabanan, why were the rabbis legislated? And we attempted to explain because it's a function of nichalei. The Gemara has now argued, and pretty successfully, that's not going to explain every case. In the case of borrower lender, where I'm returning a lost note, we're not going to have nichalei. Yes, the malva will be happy, but the lover will be most unhappy. And if it's all a function of nichalei, so then we don't have nichalei here in this particular case. Ela marava. So the Gemara says, okay, we're back at the drawing board, and simanim daraisa. Okay, so and over here. So Rava will tell you, I have no other way to say it. Simanim operate min haTorah. And how do I know that? So dichsiv ayaimcha derosh achicha oso. So once again, we return back to the psukim. Three psukim in Kiseitse outline the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And here, vayayimcha ad derosh achicha oso. And what your brother is going to do is he's going to be darish. He's going to seek. Now v'chita ala adatcha shiyinenu. Kodim shiyidushenu. Well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to give it back to him before he asks? How in the world do you know who the owner is? He obviously has to ask. So ela darshehu im ramai hu oin a ramai. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to ascertain whether he's a ramai or whether he's not a ramai. And lav bisimanim shmamina. How in the world do you know whether he's a ramai or not? Now in the Mishnah, one suggestion I made is that, well, maybe I know that because historically he lied. But the Gemara over here is doing this differently. The Gemara over here is doing this from a not historical basis, but a case-by-case basis. Meaning right now, he comes and he says, oh, that's mine. Okay. How do we know it's yours? So that's exactly the point. The only way that he can properly identify that sins is that if he gives a marker, some sort of identifying marker on the item that it belongs to him, otherwise known as simanim. So in other words, in the pasuk itself, we see that there are simanim because the Torah says adrosh. And what you're going to do is you're going to investigate. And what's your investigation? Are you the owner? Well, how are we going to know simanim?
Why couldn't the Gemara bring Raya from Yosef? The brother brought the coat to Yaakov. He said, do you recognize? And that
all
was
right.
The simanim.
Good. I like that. Right? Yaakov with Rachel and Leah, also there were simanim. Right. Okay, good. But better to get the halacha from the parsha of Hashavas Aveda, which is where we are right now. So Shmamina. So Amar Rav Imtim Salamar Simanim Daraisa. So now, just a short number of minutes ago, I told you that the Gemara is going to have a conclusion. Sounds that way, meaning the Gemara now seems to be locked into the position that Simanim are Midaraisa. Good. So the discussion started yesterday and it goes into today's daf. And right now we're good, right? Watch as I read the next line of the Gemara. I jumped the gun a little bit, but watch as I read the next Gemara. Amar Rav Imtim Salamar Simanim Daraisa. Well, you know, if you say that Simanim are Daraisa, now that's the same Rava who just one line earlier said that Simanim are Daraisa and brought a pasuk that said that Simanim are Daraisa, and look at the way he's talking. Well, if you say that Simanim are Daraisa, and immediately the Gemara jumps on that, Imtim Salamar Apashale. Why are you saying Imtim Salamar? Why would you do that? You just said that Simanim are Daraisa, and now you're like, kind of like, softly stepping around this issue, you know, if you say, so the Gemara says, Mishum de'ika lamemar kiddushanina. The Gemara says, yeah, but go back to yesterday's daf. Now, Rashi does so, and Rashi, he's so good in terms of his conservation of words. One word, Rashi. Rashi says, Eidim. Right? Remember, in yesterday's Gemara, we suggested that, what's the drisha? Or what are we investigating? If the owner can bring witnesses that says that the item belongs to him. Now, I noted yesterday, but I'm just going to repeat the same thing I said yesterday, and that is, and the witnesses are telling us what? Meaning, you can't argue right now that the witnesses are going to say simanim, because what difference is that the witnesses say simanim or you say simanim? Presumably, and again, Gemara doesn't make this point clear, but I think this is pshat. I hope I'm right. And that is, the witnesses actually saw the item get dropped by you and get picked up by somebody else. Okay. I assume that that's what the witnesses actually are testifying. Either way, there is a way to interpret the pasuk without using simanim, but rather with eidim. Okay, good. So we are right now almost at the end of the discussion whether simanim are daraisa derabanan, and now a little bit more to go until we get to the next mishnah. It's coming up shortly. Simanim v'simanim. So now basically this is classic Gemara, which is, look, simanim work. Okay, they either work daraisa, so they either work derabanan. They work. Now I have simanim, so now that will identify that I'm the owner. Okay, but let's say now we have a clash. I come in and say that the item is mine. How do I know that? Simanim. Somebody else also comes in and claims same item, and he also is using simanim. So simanim is simanim, so yaniach. I don't know who is the correct owner. Two people claim it, each one bringing equal evidence that belongs to them. So then let it yaniach. Achi avo aliyahu says Rashi. In other words, we simply don't know what to do. Limbo. Simanim ve'edim, yinatim labala edim. Now, what if it's simanim versus edim? Over here, the Gemara says, the edim are going to beat simanim. Simanim v'simanim 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 v'edachad. So if I have now simanim by one person, simanim by a second person, and edachad for a third person, so, Eidecha Kamanda Leisidami?
No, he brings the
Simon. I'm sorry. You're right, right. Good. Okay, let me say it correctly. So, Simonim by one person, Simonim and an Eidecha by a second person. Very good. So now, Eidecha Kamanda Leisidami. Good, but Eidecha, when it comes to Mamanos, Eidecha is zero. Okay. Mind you, by the way, Eidecha is not really zero. In other words, there is a Shvua. Okay, but vis-a-vis moving and transferring an item from one person to another, Eid Echad is not going to do it. So basically, Eid Echad now leave out of the discussion. And what are we left with? We're left with Simanim versus Simanim. So now, Yaniach. Again, Achi Yavo Eliyahu. Eide Ariga Ve'eide Nefila. So let's say now the following. Witnesses say, look, we know who stitched this together. We know who wove it. Right? That's a weaving pattern. Again, I take us back to the days where no mass production, everything was handmade. And so therefore, you know that this weaving pattern belongs to that individual. Or maybe alternatively, you saw him weave it, one way or another. So I got the weaving pattern. So Adam are testifying that this person wove it. And I have another set of Adam that say, okay, but I also know that this garment fell from this person's hand, not the person who wove it, a different person. So which Adam am I going to go with in terms of identifying ownership? So over here, we can reconstruct, and it's easy to reconstruct what happened. There was a weaver, and the Adam who testified that that person wove it, they're not lying. But then, there's another chapter in the story. The weaver then sold it to another person, because that's typically speaking what happens. And the other person who purchased it, he's the one who lost it. So in other words, so we're going to believe now, really the truth of the matter is we're believing everybody. But in terms of reconstructing what happened, so the likelihood is that the weaver sold it, and the person now who purchased it is the one who dropped it, therefore it belongs to the buyer. Midas arko, midas rachvo. So let's say one person gives some on him in terms of its length. Another person gives some on him in terms of with tinasein lemidas arko. Give it to the one who is testifying its length. I say testimony over here. Again, I like to check myself. It's not testifying, but simply simonim, right? In other words, I'm telling you how long it is. Another person comes along and says, yeah, but I'm telling you how wide it is. Give it to the guy who's giving the L, not the W. Why? Midas rachva shira kamishar le kad mechase le marivikai. Umidas arko lo mishta'er le. Because even as the item is now, the two are coming to recover their item, the one who's giving the width, all he needs to do is one glance at the garment, at the lost garment, and he could ballpark its width. On the other hand, the person who is testifying its length, presumably this garment is folded up. The length is not evident, not self-evident. And so therefore, the guy who's giving the length is giving a more accurate identifying marker. Midas arko, midas rachvo, midas gamav. Okay, so what if, let's say, one person is telling us the length and the width, and the other person is telling us the total area. Okay, Gamav says Rashi, coming from the Greek letter gamma. Now, gamma is basically it's a 90 degree. Right? Right? It's a chav sofis. Good. So the, so therefore, basically, gamma is another way of just simply expressing area, it's length times width. Simple. So one person is giving us the linear measurements of length and width, and the other person is giving us the total square area. Which one is giving a better marker? If I had to guess, I would have gotten this one wrong. So Yinasin Lemidas Arko V'Rachvo. So the Gemara says the one giving the length and width is doing a better job identifying it. It's a better marker. I'm guessing, I have to try to explain the Gemara. I'm guessing area is something that you can more approximate and more estimate.
One piece of information instead of two.
Yeah, okay. And yep, area is length times width. Yeah, okay. Okay, good. All right, good. Another better way to say it. Okay, good. Midas arko, midas rachvo, midas mishkal osav. You know, same midas mishkal osav. If one is providing linear measurement and the other one's providing weight, weight is a better marker of identification. Who omer simani aget? Vihi omer simani aget? You know, sin la? All right. Husband and wife are coming in, or could very well be ex-husband, ex-wife are coming in, claiming that the get was in their possession. The husband's claim is that, yeah, I wrote the get, but I didn't deliver it yet, and I'm giving you the marker that it's mine. The wife is coming in and says, no, he already delivered the get, and I'm giving you the marker that it actually belongs to me. Okay, so, yinasein la. So over here, so what you're going to do is you're going to give it to her. Now, b'mai. Ilema b'midas arko v'rachva d'ma ba'adid n'akele chazisei. What simon is she giving? Its length and width? Well, right now, they're coming in to claim a get. They're looking right at it. She can tell you what the length and the width is. She's looking right at it. It's not an impressive marker. So, Ella Nekev Yeshba B'tzad Ospani. So, the Gemara says, okay, there's a hole by a certain letter. So who Amar Siman? I'm sorry, before I move on. So now we just learned together that they're giving a proper Siman. So now, and he claims, she claims, you give it to her. Why? So the answer seems to be pretty straightforward. Because obviously, the get originates with him. Meaning the kus of law. Right? In other words, the way the get works, we've spent the Masechta talking about this. He writes it, or he commissions the sofer to write it. He writes it, so obviously he knows the simon. That's not a chiddush. The fact that she knows the simon, well, no. In other words, that's... Yeah, correct. The fact that she knows the simon now is better proof positive that the get was given from him to her. That's why he gave it to her. Now, almost done with the first part of today's daf. So let's say there's a string attached to the get. Now I know back in get we talked about where there was an actual physical string attached, and he's holding on to the string, and we learned together that the get's not a good get, because the get cannot have strings attached. And we mean that both literally and figuratively. Okay, we did this back in getting extensively. Anyway, but right now we're not talking about that. Meaning we are talking about a physical string. But we're not talking about where he's holding the string and ready to pull the get back. What we just simply mean is that there's some sort of loose hanging string from the get, and each one of them is marking it as an identifying marker. So, are they identifying the color of that string? Unimpressive, right? The get's right in front of them right now. They're looking at the string. How do I know it's mine? Red string. Oh, you mean the get that you're looking at right now with the red string hanging off of it? It's not impressive. Ela b'midas arko. So the Gemara says we're talking about the length of the string. Apparently, that wasn't self-evident. So hu amer bechafisa v'hi amers bechafisa yinasin lo. Okay, and here's a bit of a curveball. Meaning, usually, in other words, in these Gemaras that we did, these last couple of cases, so if she's able to properly identify the get with a marker, with a simon, it's going to go to her. Here's one notable exception. And that is that he says it was bechafisa. Meaning it wasn't, the get was in a pouch. He's describing the pouch. And she says, yeah, the get was in a pouch. And she's describing the pouch. That would be the one case where you don't give it to her. My taima. Now we need an explanation. So the Gemara says, they were married. She knows his habits. She knows that she doesn't like papers just lying around. She knows that all of his paperwork goes into a pouch. So the fact that she's able to tell you, oh yeah, the get, it was in a pouch. That's unimpressive. Because that was an educated guess based on the fact that they live together. And she knows his behaviors. So that doesn't serve as a simon. Good, that kind of takes us to the first half of today's daf. We continue. We're in Chav Chesam and Aleph, we're at the Mishnah. Ad Masai Chayv LaHachris. Okay, great question. And that is that how long is this going to go for? You found a lost on item, you would like to find its owner, you'd like to return it to its owner, it's the mitzvah of the Torah. Great. You're in. And now, you hold it indefinitely. Is there any kind of limits in time? That's our Mishnah. So Remeir says, until the neighbors know. Which neighbors? Hold that thought. We're coming back to that. Rabbi Huda Amar Shlosh Regalim Ve'Echad Ve'Acher Regal Achron Shivas Yamim Kidei She'elach Leveso Shlosha V'Yachzor Shlosha V'Yachriz Yom Echad. According to Rabbi Huda, it's going to be three regal cycle, and 7 days after that as well. Enough time for him, the loser, to have gone home, check his closet, come back, and give him one more day to announce, I'm the loser. Can you please return it to me? Okay. So you're given three Yamim Tovim in 7 days post that third Yantif. Now, Tana. Shchene HaVeda. Okay, good. So in a Braisa, so we said Shchenim. Meaning, in our Mishnah, what is the limits of time? Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. We're right now within the sheet of Rav Meir. Within the sheet of Rav Meir until the neighbors know. Neighbors, what does that mean? So in the Braisa, we're given one more word to help us understand. Shchina Aveda. But that's only one more word. We're not yet at the point of understanding. So my shchein aveda, yilam v'shcheinim de bal aveda. So are we talking about the neighbors of the owner? So the Gemara says, well, no. Iyad alei lezo lahadrini alei. Well, neighbors of the owner know that the item was lost and recovered. So what they're going to do is that they're going to be nice neighbors and they're going to return it back. Meaning that obviously that's not what we're talking about. So ela shchene makom shenimtzas bo aveda. So the we're talking about the neighbors of the location in which the item was recovered. Meaning that little neighborhood now knows in total that the item was lost. Once you have everyone in the community where the item was lost who knows about the lost item, and no one's saying anything, so at least according to the Shita Reb Meir, now you can argue that it's not going to go back. Presumably, by the way, after this time limit, Bein Le Reb Meir, Bein Le Reb Yehuda, you get to keep it. I'm going to be honest with you, the Mishnah nor the Gemara makes that point super clear, but that seems to be reasonable. Right? The alternative would be that you just simply... I don't know. Right, Munach Hashiav Aliyah.
Is there like is that the kinyan at that?
Right. In other words, right. Correct. That's what I'm struggling with. In other words, do we then assume Yeush? Unclear. Rabbi Huda Omer Uriminu. Okay. So Rabbi Huda says the following, and that is three yontifs. Now, by the way, why yontif? The answer is obvious, but I'm just spelling it out because by yontif, everyone now is going to congregate in Yerushalayim. So now you have the Jewish people together. This is a great time for lost and found. Great time. It also happens to be there's a mitzvah of the Torah to go to Yerushalayim on Yom Tov. But now that we're all here, it's great. So you're going to announce, right? I found a lost item. So good. So you do this three times over, and that's it. But it's not it because after the third Yom Tov, now 7 days. Why? 3 days for everyone to go back home, check their closets. 3 days to come back. And one more day just for him to be able to say, hey, right? Who found it? Because I lost it. Now, Uriminu. B'shlosha b'mar cheshvan, sho'olim esekishon m'rab gimla amr b'shevabo, chamisha asa yom achar chag, kidei shiagia acharon, right, we have a lot of gears issues over here, shebisol in our press. Okay. So, when do we start asking for rain? After Sukkos. Great. In other words, we don't want it on Sukkos itself, even though the rain season starts on Sukkos, but we don't want it on Sukkos itself because we want everyone to sit in a Sukkah, right? Remember, back in Sukkos, we discussed this. So we're going to wait till after Sukkos. Great. Right after Sukkos? No. Everyone's in Yerushalayim. So in other words, let people get home first, right? You don't want to be driving in the rain. Okay. So give everyone time to go home. Well, how long is it going to take for everyone to get home? So over there in the Mishnah, so it says, so the, so you're going, to, it's going to be, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, which is 15 days after Yontif. 15 days after Yontif is a lot longer than what we're describing over here in our Mishnah Bab Metzia of 3 days. Okay. That's obviously a wild discrepancy. How long does it take to get home from Yerushalayim? Now, I know, by the way, the answer, of course, is it depends where you live. But obviously, these numbers that are given over here, obviously, must be talking about maximum distance, right? In other words, we'd like everybody to get home. Good. So, I'm Rav Yosef Lokasha. Kan b'miktash rishon, kan b'miktash sheni. So, over here, the Gemara is going to start off with a really interesting historical distinction to be made between, maybe we're talking about miktash rishon versus miktash sheni, and what, how does that distinction play out? B'miktash rishon, d'nefish yisrael tuva. What was the Jewish population in Israel for Mikdash Rishon? Huge. Okay. Now, I say huge, by the way, the Navi that we just quoted, Sefer Malachim. So it says, right, Rabim Kachol, like the sand. Okay. It was a huge population. So forgive me, I don't have numbers to give you, but in other words, it was massive. And so therefore, the traffic was awful. Therefore, more time was needed to go back home. However, b'mikdashenu d'lonefishi yisrael tuva d'chzibahu kolkal ke'echad arba ribo alpayim shlosh me'os v'shishim. Pasuk in Ezra describing the second Zionistic movement to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So how many people came back? 42,300. Okay. Not an impressive number. Okay. Right? People stayed in Galus. Unfortunately, we all relate. So the what happened? I just lost my spot. I'm sorry. So lo bina kulei hai. There we go. I'm back. So we don't need that much time. In other words, there's no traffic. Okay. So in other words, you zip back home. So that's the discrepancy between how long does it take to get back home from Alila Regal? 15 days, 3 days? It depends with which base of Mikdash we're describing. It depends on traffic. Okay. So Amalei Abaye Vaksi Vayishva Kohanim Valivim Vamashorim Vashorim V'chol Yisrael Be'arehem V'kev D'achihu Ibcha Mistabra. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to quote another pasuk from Sefer Ezra, obviously describing us going back. By the way, this is just fits in well right after Purim. Right? Purim is Bein Mikdash Rishon Mikdash Sheni. And obviously, it brings us to rebuilding the second base of Mikdash. Good. So anyway, so here in this pasuk that we just cited, second parak of Ezra, long parak, by the way, this is pasuk Ayin, 70th pasuk over there in that second parak of Sefer Ezra. So anyway, so over there, so when we repopulated, so we were a smaller number, right? 42,300. Yes. But meanwhile, smaller number, but we went back and we helped ourselves to all the original cities. So that means to say that we, even though the numbers were much, much smaller, but we went back to every city. So now what the Gemara is arguing is the following. Meaning, it's not the pshat, like I guess the Gemara originally thought, that for the Bayisheni, we went back to Eretz Yisrael and everyone went proximate to Yerushalayim. That's not true. What we did is we went back and we settled all the original cities. So the distance now is the same distance. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you what. We're going to try to do the same thing and make a distinction between Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni. We'll just flip the argument. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, I'm just starting again from Abaye, sorry. V'haksiv v'yeshva kohanim v'alevim v'amishorim v'shorim v'chol Yisrael v'areyim. V'kev v'dachi hu ebcha mistabra. Just the opposite. Mikdash Rishon de Nefishu Yisrael Tuva de. Now the word over here is matzvas, alma. O'mishach v'shayar z'dal z'bein b'yamam b'bein b'layla. Lo b'yinu kulehai. V'sagei b'talas yomai. Mikdash Sheni de lo Nefishu Yisrael Tuva v'lo matzvas alma. Lo mishach v'shayar z'dal z'bein b'yamam b'bein b'layla. So b'yinu kulehai. So the Gemara says, fine. So here's how we're going to argue it, and that is caravans. In Mikdash Rishon. So catching a bus to go back home, easy. The buses were running on the hour.
Shuttles.
Right? Shuttles back and forth. In other words, transportation, because there were so many people, transportation was easy. In the second base of Mikdash, so you had a handful of people going back home. So over here, we had to wait. Everyone had to get together. In other words, moving was not that quick. Good. Okay. So we are now going to try to make the argument just in the other direction. Okay, so what are we looking at over here? A discrepancy of how long does it take to get back home from Aliyah L'Regel. Our Mishnah B'Metziah says 3 days. The Mishnah in Taina says 15 days. Why discrepancy? What we're trying to do now is maybe it's the difference of whether we're talking about Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, and we try to distinct in either direction. Good. Rav Amar Lo Sham B'Mikdash Rishon Lo Sham B'Mikdash Sheni Lo Hitrichu Rabbanan Ba'Aveda Yosem Yidai. Rava says, I'll tell you what, let's not give historical answers. Let's give a simpler, more fundamental answer to this question. And that is that we have just meaning 15 days is really the real time that it takes. When it comes to Aveda, we're only given 7 days. The answer is meaning 7 days total, right? 3 days to get home, 3 days to get back, one more day. We're only given 7 days. You know why? Because we're just going to give more rachmanis to the Motzei Aveda. That Motzei Aveda now has been holding on to the item for 3 regalim, announcing it on each one of the regals. And so over here, like, enough already. Meaning there's a limit. There's a gvul. How long are we expected for him to go ahead and to continue to watch? Lo hitrichu rabbanan ba'aveda. So the Chachamim just simply said, He's been doing this for a long time now. We're just gonna have more compassion on the Motzei Aveda. Amar Avina Shema Mina Ki Machris Glima Machris. So over here, the Gemara is going to interject our discussion over here on a discussion that we're going to be having on the Amud Beis. Simple question. You find a lost item, you're going to announce that you found it. What do you announce? Okay, so you found a ring. Do you announce to the world that you found a ring, or do you announce to the world, I found something? Okay. Arguments in either direction. We'll talk about it in just a couple of minutes from now. So what the Gemara is going to try to do right now is make the argument that our Gemara here proves that the correct thing to do is to announce Glima. That when you announce that you found a lost item, you don't just simply say generically, I found a lost item, but you do, to a degree, identify what you found. I found a coat. How do you get that from our discussion over here? Gemara makes the argument. Isak adatcha aveda machriz bina lemitfe leichad yom ala'iyuna bemane. Because if all you're announcing is just simply, I found a lost item, so now, for the person who's going home after Yontif, what do we say, 3 days travel, 3 days travel back? No. He's going to need more time. Because not only does he have to check his closet, he has to check his attic, he has to check the basement. All right, remember basements? He's got to check his garage. In other words, but if you say Glima, well, now all he's got to do is check his closets. And if he had to check all those items, we wouldn't just give him 3 days travel, 3 days travel back. We would give him at least a day to go and check everything. So Rava says, no, I'm not buying it. Afilu tema aveda tamachris lo tshuchu rabbanim aveda yoser midai. And Rava will tell you the same thing I just told you moments earlier, which is, no. Really, maybe the halach is that you just simply say, I found a lost item. It's going to require him to go home and check his closet, his garage, his basement, v'chule, v'chule. Rava says, I know, but once again, yesh gvul. Like again, we're just not going to be overbearing on the person who found the lost item. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Regel Rishon Omer, Regel Rishon, Regel Sheni Omer, Regel Sheni, Regel Shishi Omer Stam. Okay. Technical Gemara over here. What are you announcing on each one of the Yantav? So on Yantav number one, you say, this is number one. On Yantav number two, you say, this is number two. When you get to the third Yantav, you don't say, this is number three, but rather you just simply say, found a lost item, without telling you which Yantav it is. And by not mentioning the number, that is putting everyone on notice. This is it. Final announcement. The Gemara says is that if we require the person to say shlishi, this is number three, people, instead of hearing three, they're going to hear two. I know that sounds funny, but right now that's what we're arguing. If you're offering a number, people get confused by numbers. So the Gemara says, okay, sheni nami. So the Gemara says, yeah, once you put out a number, people get confused by the number. So you say two people may hear one. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's not the end of the world. Because if you say two and they heard one, so okay, but they still have another yantif. That's not the end of the world. Tana Rabbanan, top of Chaf Chesam and Beis. Okay, and finally, we learned in this brisa. So when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so then the Beis HaMikdash became a central location. Good. And you announce on Yantav where everyone's centrally located, all the Jewish people. But now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and then the Gemara is just in the brisa inserts, Bimheira Biyameinu, should be built. Okay. So what they would do is so that you announce in Shul and you announce in the Beis HaMikdash, and now once the Anusim came around, we're going to identify Anusim in just a moment, so now what you do is you publicize, but you do so in a somewhat more discreet fashion. Telling the neighbors. And that's enough. So Maish Misha Rabu Anasim over here, we're describing Anasim in this context. Meaning, we know what anasim are. Anasim are people who are bullies. That we know. But in this context, what does it mean? So, Damri, Aveda Telamalka. The Gemara says is that the anasim described over here is as follows. Anyone finds a lost item and announces it, along comes the anasim and say, I'm representing the government. I'll take it. The government lost it. Even though, not true. Rabbi Ami Ashkach Udui di Dinare. Chazi o Barnash de Kamirtas. Rabbi Ami found a lot of golden coins in a kli. And there was a person that he was very, very, very afraid of. So Amrale, Zilshkolan Ashkach, Dalav Parsayan and Damri Averet Alamalka. So the guy told Rabbi Ami, you can relax. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not, and to be frank, right, a knock on the Persians, right, Zilshko Parsayana. I'm not one of those Persians who just simply say, oh, I'm taking on behalf of the government. I'm not one of those people. Meaning I look scary, but I'm not scary. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Evan Torah Yisrael B'Yushalayim Kol Misha Avdalo Aveda Nif Nelasham V'Chol Misha Motzei Aveda Nif Nelasham Zelman Machrus Zelman V'Nosun Siman V'Nod La V'Zui Shishaninu Tzu'u Ru'u Inimches Evan HaTowin. Okay. And finally, just to cap off this discussion, so the Evan HaTowin. So there was a stone. In other words, over here this price is just telling us not just everyone's in Yerushalayim by Rego, which is true, but on top of that, there was also a central point of lost and found. It's called the Evan HaTowin, some sort of elevated stone. Rashi over here describing the word Towin. So wrong word. Right? Rashi described the word Nimche. So I'll come back to that just momentarily. So anyway, so there was this stone that basically was a central location of lost and found. The people who lost it would go there. The people who found it would go there. And that's where they would meet and hopefully return the lost item. Obviously, you have to identify it's yours via simanim. And, oh, by the way, the Gemara says bonus, and that is the Mishnah Tanis. The Mishnah Tanis says, we're going to continue davening until you can't see that stone anymore. That's the im tsu'uru im nimches. If that stone is covered, meaning enough rain came down where that stone is covered, so now our tefillahs were answered and we don't need to daven anymore. Okay, good. That's the Mishnah and Tanis, and the Gemara says, so we're seeing now the Evan HaTowin in two locations, here Bamitzia, there in Tanis. We have time for one more? No. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, tomorrow's daf is shorter, so tomorrow we're going to do a little bit more catch-up, but we're good. Okay, two big sugyas that we covered today. Number one, Simanim Daraisa Darabanan. Okay, so the conclusion of the Gemara is that it's deraisa. But even as we say that, even at the end of the sugya, the Gemara kind of tiptoed a little bit on that, im timtza lomar. But anyway, but that seems to be the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, standoff between various claimants. I have people claiming that it's the owner, more than one person claiming it's the owner, each one of them providing simanim, and the Gemara does its classic discussion of, what do I do if it's simon v. simon? What if I do with Simon v. Adim? Okay, and which one serves as a better identifier? Okay, good. And we did a number of other of those types of questions of length versus width, and length width versus area, right? V'chule v'chule. Get Isha, each one claiming that they're really the owner of the get, husband versus wife. Who are we going to award it to? Good. All those discussions took us to the Mishnah Chav Ches Amad Aleph. And Chav Ches Amad Aleph, so we discussed one more topic for today, and that is statute of limitations. I found a lost item. I'm trying to find its owner. How long am I going to have to be responsible to hold the item, look for the owner? Machlokas Tanayim, Rameh Rav Yehuda. The Gemara certainly seems to be more in line with Rav Yehuda. The discussion of the Gemara and the braces that are quoted all are leaning in the direction of Rav Yehuda, which is three Yamim Tovim, plus another 7 days after that. A good part of the second part of today's daf had to do with the discrepancy between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Tanis. How long does it take for people to get home after Aliyah Larego? So is it a 15-day journey, which is what it sounds like over there in that Mishnah Tanis? It doesn't sound that way. It is that way. And over here, a 3-day journey. Right? By the way, even though our discussion over here is 7 days, 3 days home, 3 days to come back, with one more day just to, you know, file all the paperwork, if you will. But in other words, but the 3-day journey versus a 15-day journey, which one is it? The Gemara gave numerous responses to how to deal with that stealing.